Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to make an announcement that the Restoration of Yahweh's Sacred Laws Conference held in Memphis, Tennessee, which actually is coming up next week, and the dates are November 23rd through the 26th, and it's going to be a blessing. That Yahweh bless all of us that's leaving our prospective cities and states to gather themselves together with one another. And I know that everyone there is traveling to gather with their people for one reason, and that's to seek the Most High Yah, seeking His truth, and gathering themselves with their people as they should. No matter our differences shouldn't keep us from gathering ourselves together. Matter of fact, when we have differences, this is the reason that we should come together and iron out our differences. And yes, differences can be ironed out. The Most High told us to do so. He said, listen, do not discover a secret unto yourself. Debate your cause. Listen to that. Your cause with your brother. If you have a cause, you have a reason in your mind. The Most High said, well, bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth your witnesses to testify your truth. And the Most High said, the counsel and the words of Yah will stand. And if you're speaking the truth, obviously you have to be speaking that which Yahweh has either said or that which Yahweh confirms. So praise Yah for this beautiful conference coming up. It's a beautiful thing for the brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity and love up under the eyes of the Most High. So I'm looking forward to this conference in Memphis, Tennessee. This is the first conference that's over 25 years that the conference is being held. This is the first time in Memphis, Tennessee. We have over 40 rooms sold out in the host hotel, which that's a record-breaking number, especially for a winter conference. Over 40 rooms sold out in the host hotel, and we have surrounding hotels that are selling rooms as well. So it's going to be a very beautiful sight to see, because I know I'm going to meet a lot of brothers and sisters that I never met before. And once we meet, we're going to be locked in and tied in. And it's going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. But praise the mighty Yah. Today I come before you to give a presentation. And as always, been taught to me from my teachers, you always let your best foot go forward. And the best foot that I have and the best foot that you have is when we have the foot that Yahweh is leading. The foot that Yahweh is guiding. And when He guides your foot and your steps, it's going to not be in your ways. It's going to be in His. It's not going to be according to your thoughts. It's going to be according to His. And this is what I bring to you tonight. This is what we've been bringing every night. But it's the ways and the thoughts of the Most High Yah. Written in the book of Isaiah 55. And if you go with me to the sixth verse. Seek ye Yahweh while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh. And He will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for He will abundantly pardon. This is the kind of Elohim that we serve. This is when they say the Most High is truly a forgiving Elohim. He's a merciful Elohim. But whoever said that told you the 100,000% truth. There is no Elohim outside of Yah. Even though they say Elohims and gods outside of the Most High, They speak of them, but they're not real. It's only one. But even these false gods they speak of and make up, still, they don't fabricate these idols and gods with the kind of mercies that Yahweh has. You know why? Because it's impossible for a man to even fathom the kind of mercy that Yahweh has. We can't even fathom it. Yahweh look at Israel as his wife. But a lot of us, if Israel was our wife, we would have been done and destroyed Israel. All you have to do is look at our homes today and our wives. And our wives do little offenses and we already done. They didn't go outside the house and lay with somebody. They didn't go cheat. But they did a couple little things that made us mad and now we're just ready to put them away. Write them a bill of divorcement. A Elohim, it says, for he will abundantly pardon. 8 verse says, Isaiah 55 verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Stop thinking that I know I created you in my image and my likeness, but I never told you at any time that I put you on the same level as myself. How can you ever be on my level, says Yah? My thoughts is not your thoughts. You're a man. You just a speck of nothing compared to me. Your ways are not my ways. And I know you think that we act the same and your ways and my ways are the same. But no, they're not the same and they will never be the same. You can only be a reflection on some of the things of me, says Yah, but you can never be equivalent to Yah and his whole fullness, the whole spectrum of Yah. You would never be on that level. You would never think on the level that Yahweh thinks. You would never walk in the way that Yahweh walked in the whole total spectrum, because he's the creator of the universe. He says, listen, in Isaiah 55 verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's the bottom line, people. We have to just bow ourselves down and humble ourselves to the Most High. And what we have to do is figure out, once we see his thoughts and his ways, we don't question his thoughts and ways as if our thoughts is higher. And the things that we conjure up in our thoughts and our heart and mind is higher and our ways are better. No, we don't question the Most High like that. We question the Most High to get understanding of his magnificence, to get understanding of his wisdom. My goodness, my God, how does this is just, you know, why did you do it like this, my God? I just want to know how you just thought to do this thing like that and why you did it. And then the Most High will begin to show you his wisdom. And it's only going to do one thing and one thing only. And that's going to blow your mind. It's going to wow you. Because everything about Yah is wondrous. His existence within itself is wondrous. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the thoughts of Yah, because that's the best foot forward. We're dealing with the ways of Yah. We have to turn back to Yah. We have to let the wicked man, let us, the men, let us turn from our ways. Let us forsake our own ways, how we think we should raise a family, how we think we should conduct our house and order our house, how we think we should rule over our wife and treat our wife. You got some men today think that they should let their wife rule the home. And she should be the dictator in the house and she should decide everything. Some men think that. But is that the thoughts of Yah? Some men think they can, they're supposed to be the ruler and do everything and make decisions, and nobody has an input whatsoever. He's supposed to decide everything, what you wear, what you put on, what you eat. Is this the thoughts of Yah? Well, if you want to know the thoughts of Yah, if you want to know the ways of Yah, it's only one place you can go, and that's what he said in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter. Isaiah 34, verse 16 reads, "Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read." If you want to know the thoughts of Yahweh, you want to know the ways of Yahweh, to even find the Creator's name, which is Yahweh, to find what Yahweh likes and his desires, his things that he hates, things that he loves, everything that you want to know about Yah, what the Most High said, well, you have to seek ye out of the book of Yah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, says Yah, and my spirit has gathered them. This is what Yahweh has done. He has gathered these books. So I praise the mighty Yah, because when we have his thoughts and his ways, we don't have to second guess ourselves. We don't have to be confused, and we don't have to settle for less. We don't have to waste our time in vanity. Praise the mighty Yah. If you go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, for what we're dealing with specifically tonight, which is wrapped up in the thoughts and ways of Yah, is purpose. And the reason why, the scriptures tell us that a wise man's mind always is discerning time and purpose. Is this, that's the main thing that should be on a man's mind. If he's living his life, he's in life, what's on your mind? Time has to be on your mind. It has to be on your mind, because we living in time. And every day, it seems like we're running out of time. And matter of fact, you are, because you wake up in the morning and you only have so much time to the end of that day. And you need to prioritize that time. And when a wise man, though, that time is on his mind, that, man, about time this time, I need this done and I need that done, because you know what? I don't have all the time to do everything I need to do. And within the confines of time, you also thinking, what's my purpose? That's what a wise man is going to search out and think about. What is my purpose? And what is the reason the Most High has put me on this earth? If you go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, and what does it say in the third chapter, starting at the first verse? To everything there is a season, meaning a set time, appointed time. It's an order. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. It's a time to every purpose. Hallelujah. And it's another scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. And while we're in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, what do the 17th verse say? I said in my heart, Elohim shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Hallelujah. Also, look at this. Ecclesiastes 8 and 6. And this is just confirming further what I'm saying. 8 and 5. Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. That's the scripture I wanted right there. It says, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And why? The sixth verse will let you know why. He's discerning between time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, misery of man is great upon him. And time is a judgment. Time has to be measured out. And that's why a wise man is going to discern time. Because he knows you cannot live without measure. In other words, you can't live without judgment. And to measure yourself, you have to measure yourself in time. And then you have to measure yourself within purpose. What is my purpose? And once you know your purpose, then you can begin to understand your time and what you're supposed to be doing with your time and how you're supposed to order your time. Like, for instance, an example, I know my purpose is to be a son and servant of the Most High. And so, therefore, the Most High lets me know that it's 7 days in a week, 7 times, 7 days in a week. And you get to the seventh day, this is the time that Yahweh has ordained that we cease from our works, rest in him, and let all the cattle, the maidens, and the servants, men servants, maid servants, sons and daughters, it's time for everybody to rest and to come before Yah and his sanctuary to worship. And that's time and purpose. The seventh day was purposed to be what it is in the time that is at, in the season that is appointed. So praise the mighty Yah. We have to know our times, and we have to know our purpose. Not by your thoughts, but by Yahweh's thoughts. And what is our purpose? The Most High then told us our purpose all the way back in Genesis. And this is not something to just lay before you as this the same old dish, the same old plate of food that you just been getting every single day. Don't you just get tired of eating the same thing every day? Well, I tell you, this is not the same food. Because the Most High said his wisdom is like a deep well. You think you've been in that well before, but it goes deeper than you even can imagine. But the Most High told us in Genesis, if you didn't notice, in the Genesis, the first chapter, the very beginning, the Most High said, let there be light. And saw that the light was good and divided the light from the darkness. The Most High let you know every time he created something, it had purpose. It had a time. He said this was the first day. That was his time. And he let you know his purpose. To bring light upon the earth and to separate itself from darkness. The Most High let you know in the second day, the time it was second day. Then he let you know the purpose. The third day all the way to the sixth day. And if man want to know his purpose, man has to go back to his beginning. And it's only Yah that can tell you your beginning. Pay close attention. The Most High told us in the 27th verse of Genesis 1. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them. Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be meat. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So this is the time, the beginning time of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And the Most High said, man should be fruitful and multiply, replenish and subdue and have dominion in the earth. And then when you get to the second chapter, you will see. Go with me to the second chapter of Genesis. Second chapter of Genesis, verse 5. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth. It's a process with Yahweh. There, the Most High didn't create the earth and just make everything just start blossoming like you see in these cartoons. The Most High has a process. Even though the seeds and the buds was there, created, the Most High had already architect everything and how these colors would come out and everything. But he hadn't caused it to rain. And also there was no man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is man's true beginning. Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then you skip down further. The 20th verse says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowls of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Most High done already put man on earth to multiply, to replenish the earth. And what's the purpose behind it, though? Why does the Most High want the man to multiply in the earth and replenish the earth? And then the next thing is, how can man multiply in the earth and he doesn't even have a helpmate for him? But so the Most High said in Genesis 2 and 21, Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. The rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman. This is the true beginning of woman. Her whole being and soul was made from the DNA, from the bone of a man, and brought her unto the man. Most High brought, come on now, let me take you to this man that I took the rib from him and made you. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Yeah, he was asleep. But how did he know that this woman came from his bone? Of course, the Most High talks with his sons. He give us wisdom. And the only way he could have known is if the Most High told him. He said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man Therefore shall a man leave his father's mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. They shall be one flesh. And see, the Most High is showing you now how he does things and what he do. This is his creation. We actually are reading the thoughts and the ways of the Most High. He took the woman. He said, it's not good that a man should be alone. And I neglected to read that. I had to read that. Genesis 2 and 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That's the thoughts of Yah. Somebody else will tell you that it's very good for a man to be alone. A man should just ostracize himself and just be alone. This is what Catholicism is based in. This is what the Catholic priests practice. This is what the nuns practice. You even get to Buddhism with the monks and this idol or false god, Buddha. You read stories about him. He was a loner. That was alone. And this was his quest and knowledge, to be alone. And now you have these monks that be in temples all the time, and they just alone with no woman. This is a group of men following around, twirling on beads and looking at plants. But Yahweh said, no, it's not meant for a man to just be looking at plants and taking care of animals and just being in love with nature. How long can a man look into nature and see that the wolves got their little lady they went around with, the lambs got their little lady, the monkeys got their little lady, the lions got their little lady, the rams, everybody has their opposite. Everybody has their helpmate. Everybody's replenishing and multiplying and having babies, except for the man. So you can see how Yah's thoughts is definitely higher than ours. But these are the thoughts of Yah. The Most High said, man and woman, he said he brought the woman to the man and said, listen, therefore now man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Adam, you notice the words of Yah, because Adam don't know nothing about no wife. He don't know nothing about a father and a mother. For all Adam had was a father, and that's Yahweh. But he had the wisdom from Yah that, listen, you are a father now. She's a mother. And this is what's going to happen, and it's going to be an ongoing generational process. But see, what's the purpose behind them being one? This is what you want to get to. Because if you don't have purpose, you will never understand time. And you have to be on this earth to fulfill a purpose. If you're not fulfilling a purpose, then your whole plight and all your time has been in vain. And yes, a lot of us just at the end of the day are vanity, because we never get around to figuring out the very importance of our lives. The reason we got breath in our lungs, bones, and flesh, and blood and skin upon our sinews. We never get around to understanding this. So we live our life, and we sweat and blood and fight and bruise all for not our purpose. We die and we get sad and mad, but it's not over our purpose. It's for vanity. We lose sleep, not for our purpose, but for vanity. We travel miles, not for our purpose, but for vanity. We spend money, not for purpose, but for vanity. And yes, vanity has become our purpose. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, and you're going to start reading at the 14th verse. Yet ye say, wherefore? Well, Yahweh has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, meaning the wife of your beginning, meaning the first wife that just started you into official manhood, the one that was with you when it first started for you to build your house. This is the wife of your youth. I know you thought that means that it was a wife when you were young. No. Yeah, you were young in marriage because you've never been married before. This is the wife of your youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one? And yes, the Most High made one. We just read about it. We know he's talking about one of a man and a woman because of the prior verse. The verse is letting you know this is talking about a man and his wife. So yes, did not he make one? But yet had he the residue of the spirit. The man was the first one created. The man was the one created in the image and likeness of the Most High. So he naturally has the residue of Yahweh's spirit. And he says, wherefore one? Why did Yah make one? What's the purpose? When you start asking why, now you're getting into the deep understanding of things. Wherefore one? Well, the question is answered. That he might seek a Elohimly seed. I know you thought the purpose was for you to have you some pleasure and for you to start bearing children and for you to just have all the joy and fun. And Yahweh just created you and had no purpose for itself. He just wanted to just make this big old beautiful ball of earth, the heavens, and just create everything in it and left himself out to receive anything. He just did it for us, and now he's just off and gone on his own and don't want nothing in return. Well, no. If you thought that, then you thought wrong. Somebody told you wrong. The Most High said he's seeking the Elohimly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, oh man. That's who he's talking to, because you're the one got the residue of the spirit. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. You are the one that's responsible. This is your purpose. The Most High is seeking the Elohimly seed. And of course, the Most High found the Elohimly seed. He found Abraham. Go to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 26th chapter. And although when it comes to man, all men should be walking after the steps that Adam led before us, no matter what man you are. Adam was the beginning of all men. And we all should be doing the same thing. And most men in the earth are. They take wives and they beget children. And they work the land and let the land produce and feed them. And they take care of their family. This is what men are doing. They're supposed to be doing it. Getting married and being with that wife all the days of their life, whether they have one, two, or three, they with them until death do them part. But the Most High said, he seek out of Adam, he's seeking the Elohimly seed. Because the Most High has a higher purpose than just us bearing children, multiplying in the earth. We're multiplying in the earth for a purpose. And you're going to find that all purpose in the earth, the light on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day, all has purpose behind these days. And the things that he created in them days, everything fulfills a purpose. And what you'll find is that all these purposes goes right back to the purpose that benefits Yahweh. There is no purpose in his creation that's outside of his own desire. Now, we like to flip and tweak and twerk things that make it fit our own desires. But then that's when the days become dark. That's when things become polluted. That's when confusion sets in. But all true purpose goes back to Yah's purpose. Because the only purpose there is Yah's. How can we create purpose and we created nothing? We didn't even create it. We got people out here eating dogs, but the Most High didn't even create a dog to be eaten. We got people that's eating horses. And if you done ate Wendy's, 9 times out of 10, you done ate some horse. Yahweh didn't create a horse to be eaten. Camels, that's not for food. Rabbits, monkeys, lions, tigers, bears. These are things that Yahweh did not create to be for your food. But when you get into the thoughts of man, you get into the ways of man, you can eat anything you want. Monkey brains, cats, rats, bats. Let's just see how it tastes. What's the harm in it? You got thousands of different kinds of birds, but most of them birds are not even for food. They serve a whole nother purpose that you have to know Yah and his ways and his thoughts to even know their purpose. It's a lot of fish in the sea that's not supposed to be ate because Yahweh didn't create it to be eaten. That's not his purpose. But yes, there are birds and cattle that's supposed to be eaten. You have some green vegetables, plants that's not even for food. But let me show you this. We have to find the purpose that Yahweh has created for us. He created us with purpose. Genesis 26, verse 5. Because that, and let's start the third verse. He's talking to our father Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. And why? Because this is the seed that he was looking for. He found it. And he says in the fourth verse, Genesis 26, verse 4, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all, he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Praise the mighty Yah. So here it is, the Most High said, he's seeking the Elohimly seed. That's the whole reason he made one in Genesis. This is the whole reason a man supposed to leave his father and mother's house and cleave unto his wife and be one flesh. But he found the Elohimly seed. And this Elohimly seed, did you know that the Most High called this Elohimly seed that all nations of the earth will be blessed in? He called them his flock. He called them his vineyard. He called him his wife, his daughter, his firstborn son, his world without end. He said, I've created this sea for my praise and for my glory. So as you can see, this is a purpose beyond understanding. When the Most High brings this in fruition, he's going to take this seed one day that he's been looking for, and he found it. He found it through Abraham. He said, look at this man. This is my man. This is the only man in the scriptures that you will read that washed the Most High's feet and made the Most High a meal, cooked for the Most High, and the Most High ate it right here on earth. This is the only man you'll read that ever happened to. But the Most High chose him and his seed. Excuse me. And I want to show you something that the Most High has shown us when it comes to his thoughts and ways. See, once the Most High seen Abraham, he was with Abraham. And he told him to leave his father's house. And I want you to go to the land that I'm promising you. And he said, I'm going to be with thee. And I'm going to be with your seed. And you can look into the scriptures and see every step that Abraham took. Yahweh, it was not one step that Yahweh went with him in. When you look at Isaac and read the story of Isaac, there was not one step that Yahweh wasn't in. These men were walking with Yah. These men was chosen by Yah. And when you see their lives and how it plays out from beginning to end, you can see the thoughts and ways of Yah. These men exemplified it. Yahweh exemplified his ways and his thoughts through his relationship with them. And I want to point out something in particular. Go with me to the book of Genesis 29. And first, to get an understanding, go to Genesis 27, and then we get to 29. Genesis 27. Watch what happened with Isaac and his son Jacob. We'll do it, say, in verse 41. Esau hated Yaakov because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Yaakov. And you hear that language? The days of mourning is coming. And our people, we got to realize this is where we come from. And for some reason, back during these times, they knew just as a man and woman how to conduct themselves. And they knew when death was coming, this was a time of mourning, not a time of celebration. It's because today our people refuse to humble themselves. It don't matter what happens. The whole 9/11 can fall on top of your head, and we still won't humble ourselves. We will tell ourselves that everybody that died would rather us to just have a drinking party right now in their name. That's what they would rather us do. They wouldn't want us sitting here crying and mourning. And well, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I die, I want people to, if people ain't crying and mourning, I must have not meant nothing to people. If you can sit there and eat a whole 12 piece of chicken and drink a soda, and when you really get down and something really hurts you, your body don't even want food or drink. It just don't mix. I just wanted to point that out real quick. But get back to where we're at. The time of a mourning was at hand. He said, then. So he said, once my father died, I'm going to go ahead and kill my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebecca. And she sent and called Yaakov, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, does comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. He purposed it in his heart. This was his plan. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. And if you read in the book of Proverbs, wisdom tell you, always listen to the counsel of your mother. Listen to the counsel of your father. Listen to the laws and the counsel of your father and your mother. He said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. And we left off at 45 says, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Yaakov take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? She said, my goodness, if the worst thing in the world for her was for her son to get a daughter from the land of Heth, from the families upon the Heth. That was just a nightmare to her. So if you go to Genesis 28, the next chapter, verse 1, it reads, and Isaac called Yaakov and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And a wise son is not going to say, why? Them daughters over there looking good. Why you want me to do that? No, he just listened to his father. And when you have a righteous father, that's what you should be doing. Just listen. Take heed to counsel. But of course, we refuse to forsake our own ways. And we refuse to forsake our own thoughts. And a lot of times you think that this is just the thought of your father and this is just the thought of your mother. No. These is the thoughts of Yah. This is the ways of Yah. These are Yahweh's servants. And wisdom comes from Yah, not man. So if I give you any wisdom, it's not coming from me. It's coming from Yah. I'm just a tool. An instrument that Yahweh used. But watch this. He says, listen, don't take no wife of the daughters of the Canaan. Arise, go to Padanaram to the house of Bethuel, thy mother, father, and take thee a wife from this of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And Elohim Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee a blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which Elohim gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Yaakov, and he went to Padanaram unto the land, unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Yaakov's and Esau's mother. And so this is what happened. He fleed on and went to Padanaram. And like I said, this is all, and we know the story unfolded. We don't have to wait for years to see this story unfold. We can read the whole story. And when you read this whole story, you can see that Yahweh was with these men every step of the way. The report came back to Rebecca because Yahweh made it so. She gave the counsel to her son Jacob, and Isaac gave counsel to his son Jacob because Yahweh made it so. These are men of Yah. And you have to watch this unfold. Watch what happens when you get to the 29th chapter. Then Jacob went on his journey, came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth, and thither were all the flocks gathered. They rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Yaakov said unto the man, said unto them, he get to this place, he's like, hey, my brethren, whence be ye? Where am I right now? And they said, Haran are we. This is where we in Haran. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, look, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. It ain't even, it ain't time for that. Yeah, you're supposed to do that more towards the end of the day. But here she come in a little early with the sheep. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together. And yes, when you learn about shepherdhood, the most important thing about shepherdhood is gathering the flock together. You will learn that. This is what having a flock is all about. You have to keep them together. And till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. The ninth verse, Genesis 29 and 9. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. Yaakov went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. He said, come here, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to do this for you. And Yaakov kissed Rachel and lift up his voice and wept. This man wept because he know his purpose on this earth. And when you know your purpose, there is no greater fulfillment in life than to fulfill your purpose. When you can feel your feet walking and just carrying out your purpose that Yahweh has set for you. You feel your hands just doing the things that you're supposed to do in the eyes of Yah. There is no greater fulfillment. There is no drug on earth that can compare and give you the feeling that this feeling gives you. And this man had that feeling. And that's why when he seen this woman, father already told him, go get you a wife for Laban. And he knew this daughter was a daughter of Laban. He knew this is her. And he kissed her. She didn't refuse the kiss, so he already knew. Oh, she all in. She done accepted the kiss. She let me help her with the flock. She ain't striving with me. See, if she would have strove with him, it would have been written. And which means she's not willing. But she was willing. And when she accepted that kiss, he wept because he knew he was beginning to fulfill his purpose. Let's keep reading, because you want to notice something, though. Yaakov told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Yaakov, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to the house and told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him a space of a month. And Laban said unto Yaakov, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? So in this space of a month, you know, he was helping Rachel with them sheeps. He was watering them sheeps. That's why I said, man, should you keep serving me for not? Tell me what your wages should be. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Yaakov loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years. 7 years. For Rachel. And it seemed unto him just a few days. For the love he had for her. And of course we know the story. He was deceived by Laban. Ended up getting Leah. So he had to serve 7 more years. And he got both of them. And then he served another 7 years. Go with me to the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter. In Genesis, the 30th chapter, Jacob want to leave now. He done got his wives. He done served. He done had children. But watch this. He says in the 26th verse, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that Yahweh has blessed me for your sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I've served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. This is all Jacob been doing this whole time. Soon as Yahweh led him to the place that his father told him to go. Go unto the house of your mother, her brother, and get thee a wife. As soon as he stepped foot and said, where am I? He was next to a well that had sheep, and here come his wife with more sheep. And he began to be a shepherd from that time and all the way to this time right here that we're speaking of. And it's not a coincidence that the Most High had him be a shepherd. That's not a coincidence at all. And here it is. This is the man that Yahweh would use to bring about his nation of people. The ones that he called his flock. The sheep of his pasture. Not only Jacob and Rachel. Rachel also was keeping the sheep. And this is not a coincidence at all. The Most High gives us tools and teaches us certain things just in regular life that will teach you and give you the things you need to possess when you get to your greater responsibility. And when you get to that greater responsibility, you praise the Most High Yah, say, my goodness, man, I'm prepared for this. I know exactly what to do. And I was prepared for my works that Yahweh had me do on a daily, every day. Look what it says, where we left off. 29th verse, he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And Yahweh have blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house? I'm ready to go ahead and build my own house. Because as we've been telling you all, this is the purpose of man. And Jacob knew his purpose. Yahweh say, build you a house. And that which come with a house is a garden, a wife, sons and daughters, and seeking a peace. Because if you don't seek the peace, then all your works is in vain. Seeking the peace is what you call being righteous. And so he said, I want to provide for my own house. 31st verse says, and he said, what shall I give thee? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. This man just won't let it go. This is what you call pure wickedness. This is not righteousness at all. This man wants to go free. This man want to provide for himself and build his own house and fulfill his purpose. What kind of man want to even stand in the way of that? But a man that only has oppression in his heart, oppression in his minds. What shall I give thee? He said, they said, you can't give me nothing. If thou would do this thing for me, I will again keep thy flock. I give you a little bit more time and I'll keep your flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And see, once you get to know the flocks and you know the sheeps, you get to learn when you're dealing with the flocks and the goats, the sheeps, you learn every single day. And he knew that the speckled and spotted was the rare. This was the ones that wasn't in a great multitude. So he was willing to take the lower end of the stick and leave Laban with the greater end. He said, I'll take the speckled and the spotted. You keep the all pure good white ones. Or good black. And he says, 33rd verse, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. And everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. The band said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. He said, yeah, well, that sounds good to me. And of course it sounds good to him, because it sounds like he is getting the bigger end of the stick. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Yaakov, and Yaakov fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So this man was a shepherd. And it seemed like he was a natural born shepherd, because before he got there with Laban, Laban had little. But at this time, about 21 years later, Laban had increased into a multitude. And it says, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and hazel and chestnut tree and piled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. He set the rods, which he had piled before the flocks and the gutters and the watering troughs. And long story short, what he did caused, and you can read a little bit more, 40th verse. Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whatsoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Yaakov laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, manservants, camels and asses. And so that's how it went down. And then, last but not least, on this part, go to Genesis 33. So you have to see, why did the Most High have this man? He could have came in Laban's house and did anything. He could have, it's all kind of jobs to do. But it seems like the Most High set his servants up a certain way. And you will see this consistency. Genesis 33. Let's just, for time's sake, get to the meat of the matter. The eighth verse, he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "There are two. These are to find grace in your sight, O my master." This is Jacob when he left. He's going back to the land, and he know he's going to run into his brother. So you have all these gifts for him. He said, "What mean you by this gifts?" He said, "This is to find grace in your sight." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou has unto yourself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of Elohim, and thou was pleased with me." So if you're really pleased with me, my brother, please don't refuse my gift. Accept my gift at my hand. And he says, in 11 verse, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because Elohim has dealt graciously with me, and because I have had enough." And he urged him and took, and he took it. And that was a sign that Yahweh was going before him, and that he would have peace among his brother. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." This is what Esau said to Jacob. And he said unto him, "My master knoweth that the children are tender. And I got some young children with me." But not just the children. It says, "And the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." Look at this, man. He got his brother. The brother said, "Come on, let's go. I'm going to go before you." Well, he said, "Well, listen, I got little kids with me, and not only just little kids, I got flocks with young." And he said, "If men overdrive, the words he used, he said, "If men overdrive them one day, all the flocks will die." This man was concerned about not only his children, but his flocks. It looked as if it was the same exact concern. I got these tender young ones, and I got the flocks with young. They got their babies. We just can't overdrive them in one day. This has to be a day's journey for us. I know y'all trying to get back before the sun go down, but we ain't going to make it. And why is that important that I point this out? Because the Most High is teaching us that our purpose is these flocks. That is our purpose. And you have to be very mindful of your purpose. Matter of fact, hold this real quick. In the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, just hold that page, and we're just going to read one verse over here, Isaiah 40. We read two verses. It says in the 10th verse, "Behold, Yahweh Elohim will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Yes, his arm, his servants, is the ones that's fulfilling his purpose. They have a reward, and they have the work of Yahweh to do. And this is the work. Look what he says in the 11th verse. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Yes, because this is how you deal with a flock. When you start being a shepherd, literally with the lambs and sheep and goats, they remind you of kids. They remind you of children. And you have to care for them. You have to do everything for them. And this is the same when it comes to your family, the house that Yahweh wants us to build. You have to do everything. You have to care for them and take care of them. Going back to Genesis 33, just wanted you to see that the Most High said we have to, his arm, his servants, to do his work, the purpose that they will fulfill is leading the flock gently, taking them in the bosom, taking care of them, holding them in the arms, not from a distance, like it's some nasty that you don't want it to get close to you, and you, come on, well, I'm going to take care of you and get you where you need to go, but there ain't no love in it, and you got to stay like you're diseased, you're an animal. No, that ain't how you treat Yahweh's flock. That ain't how you treat a little flock. Take them in your bosom. That was Genesis 33. Go back to Genesis 33, verse 13. He says, he said unto him, my master knoweth that the children are tender. You see these tender children, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men would overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my master, I pray thee, pass over before his servants. You go ahead and go, and I will lead on softly. I got to take my time. According as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure. I'm not going off myself, and I can't go off of you. I got to go according to these children, and I got to go according to these cattle, these flocks. This is the true state, true mind, and thoughts of the righteous. This is how Yahweh wants you to think. This is why it's written in his book. If you go with me also, go to Exodus. And on the way to Exodus, I want to quote a Proverbs, which is in a book of Proverbs, the 27th chapter, and is recorded in the 23rd verse. It says, and I'm going to read it. I just want to get it to the exact word of what it says. And then we're going to get right into Exodus. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. You're supposed to look diligent. Hallelujah. So this man had great wisdom. But why did the Most High give him this kind of wisdom? Exodus, and the book of Exodus, the second chapter, what does it say? The 15th verse. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled. This sound from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. This sound just like Yaakov. He fled because a man was trying to kill him, his own brother. And first thing he gets to the place where he's supposed to go, he found himself next to a well. And it sounds like the same kind of thing. And it says in the 16th verse, Exodus 2 and 16, now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came out and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. This is the same thing Jacob did. Helped the daughters when they came out to water the flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "Where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." So here it is, a man, Moses, that will one day lead the flock of Yahweh pasture out of the land of Egypt. Soon as he fled from Pharaoh, he done ran into some daughters and himself become a shepherd. And you know he became a shepherd. All you have to do is look in Exodus, the third chapter. What does it say in the first verse? "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mount of Elohim, even to Horeb." He kept the flock of Jethro. And this flock led him to the backside of the desert, and he even came to the mount of Elohim. And you just see these men like Jacob. You can see it even in the days of Abraham. Why did the Most High have his sons? Our fathers could have been goldsmiths. Our fathers could have been master masonry, architect builders. You could have read about anything that our fathers did, but you keep reading about, especially the ones that was leading Yahweh's flock, like Jacob, like Moses, he had them taking care of flocks. Look what it says. Hold your page there in the book of Psalms. Psalm 77, verse 20. And I started at 19. Psalm 77, verse 19. "Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses in Aaron." And Yahweh don't use metaphors that mean nothing. He said, "Man, we not no flock." No, yes, Yahweh said, we are his flock. And he's not calling us a flock for nothing. We, in the eyes of the Most High, are just like a flock to him. And one of the most important things that you want to know about a flock, go with me real quick to Jeremiah. See, the Most High had Jacob with the flock because he knew one day he would be responsible for his flock. The reason Moses fled before he had a wife, before he had a son, before he even officially went into manhood, he was taking care of Jethro's flock. And it's because the Most High is showing us that the skill that you would learn and taking care of the flock are the same exact skills that you will use with taking care of Yahweh's flock. And granted, you might not have the responsibility of the whole nation in your hands as a King David will, but you do have the responsibility of your own family. In that family, what you need to know, that Yahweh has purpose, that your family, O children of Israel, is a part of his flock. And so the man in that home has to put his mind in the mind of a shepherd. You have to. And when you understand a flock and the things that you're supposed to do with that flock, it's the same thing you're supposed to do with your family. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yah. Scatter. Which means, listen, a flock. The flock means it's flocked together. It's together. The most important thing for a shepherd is keeping the sheep together. Yes, when they're in their pasture grazing, you let them branch a little bit. But at the end of the day, you have to make sure these sheep are together. So, old man, you have to make sure your family is together. We can't have our family just spread it out. And when it's dinner time and my son eating dinner in the room, my daughter eating dinner in the attic, and my other son eating dinner in the basement, a family that eats together, stays together, family that lives together, talks together, they rise up in the morning together, they walk by the way together, they sit down together, they eat together. The Most High wants our people and our families to be together. Second verse, thus says Yah, Elohim Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You're supposed to be feeding the people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. And behold, I will visit you upon you, the evil you're doing, says Yah. Watch this. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. What do it say in the 14th verse? Turn, O backsliding children, says Yah, for I am married unto you. I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors. What is a pastor? A pastor is a shepherd. One who takes care and feeds the flock. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is what you're supposed to feed your family with. Knowledge and understanding. And where do you get knowledge and understanding from? It's only one place you can get knowledge and understanding, and that's in the book that Yahweh says, seek ye out of the book of Yah and read. And this is why when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to be feeding the flock. Speaking of these laws when thou risest, when you wake up, walking by the way, sittest down, liest down. But you can't do that when you rise up and you're seeing your children off somewhere else. And when they walking by the way, they not walking with you. And when they lie down, they done laid down and you was either not there or they was not there. And so it's not together. It's not together. And this is the ways of the heathen. The most important thing with a flock is keeping it together. And of course, you have to feed the flock, water the flock. And the flock of Yah is the children of Israel. And the way that he wants you to water his people is through giving them the laws every day and night. Why do you think the Most High said, blessed the man that meditative in the law day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Because that's what the law of Yahweh is. It is a river of water. It's a wellspring of water for us, for our flocks, for our vineyards. How are you going to have a vineyard, which the same flock is also the vineyard? How are you going to have a vineyard without water? Did you know that the Most High also, one of his servants, in the book of Psalms 78, Psalm 78, verse 70 reads, he chose David also his servant, took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young and he brought him to feed Yaakov, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The Most High had King David, the man he chose to be the shepherd over his people. He was a shepherd amongst the sheepfolds. And the same skill that he learned amongst the sheepfolds is the same skill he used when it comes to his people that Yahweh put him over. And this skill was to keep the people united, to keep the people together, and feed the people with the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yah. And although his own house was cursed, but the people that he ruled over were blessed. And he knew how to keep the people together. And it's only one way to keep the flock together, and that's through righteousness. If you don't execute righteousness amongst your family, you have to make the brothers and sisters respect one another. You have to make them love one another. You have to make them want to share with one another. You have to cause them to love each other as themselves, for this is the laws of the Most High. The Most High tells us in the book of Zechariah, the 9th verse, that every man should show compassion. O children of Israel, every man and his brother, show compassion to one another. He tells us in the book of Leviticus 19, don't defraud your brothers. Don't steal from your brothers. Love your brother as yourself. Don't suffer sin upon your brother. Rebuke him in any wise and tell him that he's doing wrong. But do it in love. And this is the message that you have to teach your people, teach your families, to teach the flock so they can stay together. The Most High said he despised one of the abominations that Yahweh speak of is he that soweth discord among brethren, because that separates the flock. Cast out the scorner so contention will cease, because contention breaks up the flock. And that's what scorners do. Scorner is one that's always talking bad about somebody. Just talking bad about somebody behind their back. The scriptures call them dissemblers. You're a dissembler. You dissembling people, not assembling. You dissembling. And a dissembler is one that speaks secrets. The Most High said, well, don't discover secrets to yourself. Debate your cause with your brother. You talking to him and him and him and everybody else about this thing. But you refuse to go to your brother that you had a cause and issue with. The Most High told us in the book of Zephaniah, the 2nd chapter, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. Because this is what a flock is all about. It's about being together. The Most High in his book says how beautiful in the book of Psalms, what Psalms is that? Psalms 132 or is Psalms 133. How beautiful is it for brothers to dwell together in unity? And if you a shepherd like Jacob, if you a shepherd like Moses, if you a shepherd like David, if you a shepherd like all the men that Yahweh led before Yahweh's people, your main objective would be to gather the people together. Because woe to the pastors that scatter my flock. Woe to them. So this had to be our purpose. And you can't allow yourself as a father to allow your own family to be scattered. How can you expect a nation to come together and your own little family ain't even together? You and your household are not even together. So I can't stand up here as a moray and teach that the people should be together and my own house ain't together. That's a false balance. And so, yes, we learn a great skill when we look at our fathers and the work that Yahweh led before them when they were working in the vineyards, watering the gardens, when they were leading the flocks. The last scripture I will leave off with, go with me to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Jeremiah 10, verse 21 says, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought Yah." How you going to be a pastor and you ain't even seeking the Most High Yah? Everything you do is just according to your own thoughts and your own ways. You think that's how Yahweh wants you to teach the people. You think that's how Yahweh wants you to do this thing and do that thing. But if you really want to know for sure, you have to seek Yah. Just ask Yah, open up your mouth and pray in Yah and say, "Yah, show me how to lead your people. Show me what to teach your people. Show me if what I'm reading, I'm understanding it correctly." But he said, the pastors are brutish and have not sought Yah. "Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." All their flocks should be scattered. And if you look today, we're scattered. And you have pastors that will tell you that that's okay. But that's one of the worst things about a flock, is that it's scattered and not together. Excuse me. With this being said, praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And please continue to let Yahweh be magnified. Hallelujah. Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.
Firm. To you, my Yah, do I lift up my soul? And trusting you, he always kept me